141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we prepare to draw a line under the international break and look forward to the return of domestic action. It is back to the title race. Hearts are still top. Will they kick on and secure a history-making title win? Will Rangers come from second? Can Celtic pull it back from third? All will be revealed in the coming weeks. But up and down the league, could the top six be confirmed this weekend as well? More on that from one of our pundits a bit later. And Jens Bertolascu is calling for consistency after the Scottish FA hit Callum Slattery with that ban for simulation. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, the aforementioned Brian Graham and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, the internationals are well going. We're now looking forward to a fantastic weekend. Have a look at the fixtures here. You're looking at Saturday. Rangers could be top of the league before Hearts and Celtic play. Put pressure on Hearts, and then if Hearts win, put pressure on Celtic. They can't afford to drop anything. Exciting stuff. Down the bottom of the table there, Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Aberdeen, even Dundee, all looking to get 3 points. I think Livingston are gone. And then Stephen Robinson getting back to his old club. Exciting. And Will Falkirk, John McGinn, McGlynn, you're listening. Can you get Falkirk that extra point? Top six, and we can see the fixtures list.
Well, that's the plan, obviously, at the weekend. We're now coming off the back of the disappointment at St Mirren game. We've now got another big challenge against a very good side in Motherwell at the weekend, but we've got to concentrate on ourselves. Nobody really seen Dundee United winning against Celtic at Tannadice on the Sunday, but we're where we are on merit and we want to get it done by ourselves, so we're hoping to get 3 points again against Motherwell.
141 951 1025. It is up to you. Maybe you do still want to hark back to the international break. Brian Graham was there. He was down at the game at Everton's Hill Dickinson Stadium the other night, so you've got an eyewitness if you want to compare notes on that before you move on. I've got a funny feeling though, for most of you, you will want to look forward. The World Cup will come round fast enough, and how good is it going to be? But we'll get plenty of action to take care of before then. So if you're one of those, and I know there are many who've just been sitting, biding your time, chomping at the bit, use whatever cliche you want for the return of domestic football and the title race and the battle for Europe and the fight for the top six and the relegation scrap and so on, we're here for you. Let's really press forward on that. 0141 951 1025. All your thoughts, even if it's just predictions, thoughts on who's going to come out of the break better, what the break meant for people, did it come at a good time, a bad time, how you expect this weekend to go, anything else at all, we will take it. We're excited about the return of domestic football. So 0141 951 1025. That said though, a couple of things. You were at Everton Stadium.
Yep.
You can't have got that tan though in Liverpool for a day. So Falkirk have obviously had a bit of time off as well. How's the break been?
No, it's been great. Obviously, people that were injured getting a chance to recover, getting the squad back up to the quarter we used to. I had a couple of days off last week, so I went to Tenerife for a couple of days in the sun. I think I was lucky with my timing, because I think it was
quite, not a snowstorm or something.
Well, I think
that
was a week before, so we caught the tail end of it. We got the sunshine. And then back in training Monday, Tuesday, after training Tuesday, I went down with the family to watch Scotland play. I wanted to go down and see the new stadium, and I was really impressed by it. There was one thing I really liked that I think the SFA should really look into. It's just such a simple thing, like bus from the central station takes you right to the stadium. As soon as the game's finished, there's a row of buses, everybody goes out, £2 for an adult, £1.40 for a kid, takes you right back into the city centre. Saves all the cars, saves all the traffic, and Mount Florida, Hamden, it's not the best. You could, why not just put buses on?
I thought he was going to say something they could do really simple, just bring the ends in. Yeah, and I thought that's not simple. I thought that's where he was going.
I thought it was a stadium. It was a bus. Now the good thing
it's
is,
easy, I'm used to this guy.
I've got a bus pass. Would I get on for
50p for you?
Yeah,
we'll get you a discount. You like a discount?
Yeah, but
is it a top stadium?
Honestly, the stadium was brilliant. If I'm nitpicking.
Oh, here we go.
Half time, I felt when you were down for food and drinks, there's not enough space down there. Like, honestly, you were like cattle, you were squashed in, trying to get by people. But once you were at your seat and the stadium was Honestly, I loved it. I would love to be there for a full house because the atmosphere with 33,000 was good, but I would love to experience it full.
And is it maybe a sign of what was happening on the pitch that your biggest priority was the bus and the space you had for your pie?
But I only went down for the stadium anyway. I wasn't caring. It was like a pre-season friendly. These two games and Scotland fans are getting themselves all worked up. And they need to just relax and calm down.
Are you a big Scotland fan?
Well, he was over in the Euros as well, remember? We had him on the show.
But everybody was in the Euros. The Euros was just a jolly. Forget the football, right?
Well, I pay like nearly 450 quid a year for my membership. Me and my two kids, I go to all the home games. I enjoy it.
Mate?
I enjoy it.
That's a yes.
Aye, so I would like to see them do well. And as I said, these two games playing against two good teams, it was a chance to go and experience.
Like me, actually, I don't
pretend
like Scotland because I never get capped.
The concept,
you're in the same boat there.
Then I saw the look in your face there. It's the concept of paying money for something is lost on you.
It's a lot of candy. Just
you nearly fell off your chair when he said he actually pays
450 quid.
Aye, for the
mate, you're a professional footballer.
It doesn't matter. It's a good day out with your family. You go and meet friends. It's a good day out. I enjoy it.
That's crazy, man.
Neymar or Daz has got money.
I was going to say, that's Gordon DL's World Cup fever that we're listening to. That's crazy, man. Anyway, so you fall into that sort of relaxed category of clearly wasn't brilliant, but wasn't bad enough to worry about, and also doesn't have that much bearing your sort of level about it all.
No, I don't think we had to go out and win these two games. Look at all the other nations. Italy, previous World Cup winners, losing, don't even get to go to the World Cup. We were in a comfortable position where we could go and enjoy these two games. The manager could try a few things and play players that have not really been playing a lot. People need to relax. I thought it was a better second half performance than it was first half. Ivory Coast had some good players, and I actually enjoyed watching them at times as well, because when you go to games, you're trying to see how other teams play, what formations, and who really stands out for you. I can't remember the boy's name, but the number five on the right hand side for Ivory Coast against Andy Robertson, I thought he was really good, powerful, athletic, up and down the pitch constantly for 90 minutes.
Good to see some Falkirk representation.
Brilliant. I was delighted for Scott Bain getting on the second half as well, and for 45 minutes he kept his clean sheet as well, so I was delighted for him.
There you go. 01419511025. If you want to analyse the architecture of football stadia with Brian Graham, you're more than welcome. He was down there at the game at Everton Stadium, but I suspect lots of you want to look forward, because there is so much to look forward to. The most remarkable season so far, the most remarkable season in many a year when you take everything into account, all the drama, all the controversy, all the excitement, managerial change, and for the first time in ages, three teams heading in to what we always define it, Gordon. We always say, we set the rules, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a fluid concept, but the business end of the season starts after the March international break.
100%.
I think that's a fair way to put it.
100%. And the pressure will kick in, right? Because I said it at the top of the show, Gordon. Rangers have got a great opportunity to put pressure on Hearts and Celtic on the Sunday. If they can get 3 points, which I expect them to do, and that cements, obviously, Falkirk's top six, then they go top of the league. Hearts then play before Celtic, away to Livingston. I fancy them, it'll be difficult. And then we look forward to Dundee and Celtic. Away to Dundee, after their last performance in Dundee, it wasn't the greatest. They'll be looking to improve in that Celtic, but I fancy them as well. But listen, it's all twists and turns.
It's enjoyable. It's the old cliche, it's the business end of the season, 7 games to go. So much riding on it for these three at the top, but there's also so much at the bottom as well. And obviously, for my own interest at Falkirk, we are trying to cement that top six. It's all to play for. And we said a number of weeks ago, twists and turns, and it's going to be like that. I can't see the three of them winning every single game. I just simply cannot. So it's going to be twists and turns. But as you said there, Rangers have got a massive chance to go top of the league on Saturday, and it puts the cats amongst the pigeons a little bit.
And as we said earlier on, from the outside, you're interested in Falkirk. Lots of us are interested in just getting these fixtures out. So wrap it up this weekend.
Yeah, hurry up.
Try my best.
Regan is a Rangers fan on the line, who's going to kick us off. Hi, Regan.
Hiya.
How are you doing? All right? What are you thinking?
Yeah, good. I'm thinking, so start of the season, Russell Martin's in, and then we didn't do very well, obviously, sitting 8th place. I think it was 12 points behind Hearts we were, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And now we're sitting here in April, and we've got a chance to go top of the league at the weekend.
Yeah.
You're buying the... Do you think that is symbolically quite an important opportunity for Rangers, Gordon? Obviously, whoever gets there at the end of the season that's the main aim. Doesn't necessarily matter what order you do it in, but to go from, as Regan says, we're now going to be into April. Rangers have never been top. They've not been top at any stage. So even if it was for 20 hours, whatever it would be, I think symbolically that could be a bit of a statement this weekend.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think they've got to do that. If they've got ambitions of going and winning this league, then you have got to put pressure on your other teams. They've got a great opportunity. They're at home. Yes, Dundee United. There's something about Dundee United. Sometimes you look at them, you're going, yeah, they look a good team, well balanced, everything about them. And then other times you think, oh my God, now I know why they're in the bottom six. So I fancy Rangers to win it. I think they'll need to play at their best. And it's a great boost for them to sit top of the league. Of course it is. Because I think Regan's right. You look at Rangers at the start of the season, but it's a long season. I never thought Rangers would be down there battling away for 7th, 8th or whatever it may be. They've always got to climb that table. They had the squad, they had the players.
The thing about being 8th is, I think the points gap's probably more relevant than the league position because it's so early in the season. So you're 8th, but you can win a game and you become
83rd, for example.
But I think where Regan is on to something is clearly the gap that used to exist between Rangers and Hearts, and the fact that gap would officially be closed this weekend if they can.
Of course, exactly that. But at the same time, Rangers have lost two games all season. And I know a lot of people were on Russell Martin's case at the start of the season, but he wasn't losing games either. A lot of those draws might end up being massive points towards Rangers potentially becoming champions at the end of the season. I know the Rangers fans are a lot happier now that they've got Danny Rowe in. But for Rangers, as I just said there, I can't see the three of them winning. I expect Rangers to win at the weekend, but listen, this football, there's nothing guaranteed. But psychologically, Rangers going top at the weekend, it puts the pressure on Hearts 100%.
Do you think, I know what you're saying about the, obviously the three teams, I think there will be points dropped. Leading up to the split, I fancy the three of them. I think the three difficult games, I really do. I fancy three of them to edge it and win. But when it gets into a split, obviously they play each other and everything, but I know that. But I think Motherwell, Hibs and Falkirk, if they get there, become a big danger. I really do.
It went to 11 points when Hearts beat Rangers. Was that just before December the 21st or something, I think, just before Christmas? That's when it became 11 points. So remember that, Hearts beat Rangers at Tynecastle. It went to 11 points, and now the chance to overturn that. Regan, do you feel like you built up a little bit of momentum before the break, and you can carry that on after?
I hope so.
What's going to be key to that, do you think? What did you see? What are the signs that you saw before the break that make you confident?
Just see the game against Aberdeen. We looked a lot better, a lot of things, defensively we've been getting a lot better recently, and also up the top end with Mikey Moore and even Robbins off that left hand side, he's been playing brilliant recently.
The only thing I will say, I don't know if you'll agree with this, I know that is it 18-5 at Ibrox, 18 goals. I think that if they've got a real possibility winning this league, which they have, I think to stamp their authority, they're two strikers, they play two strikers. And the two strikers don't score enough goals for me. They've got to step up now in the next seven games and start putting the ball in the back of the net. And if they do that, then Rangers are a massive threat to Hearts and Celtic.
Of course they are. They're 30 plus in the good for goals scored. The best in the league right now, they're two goals better off than what Hearts are. But as you mentioned there, they're playing with these two strikers now. They've started playing 4-4-2 since the end of January in the transfer window. I've mentioned it before, I still believe that the wide players need to give them better service, because I think if they get the service and the ball's coming into the box, they will score. Yes, they'll miss chances, but when Rangers are playing at home, they should create numerous opportunities for these strikers to go and score goals.
I think September the 27th was the date that Hearts went top.
Incredible.
It's still there. And even at that, even if they do get knocked off on Saturday night, it's you know, they've got the chance to make up for it the next day. But yeah, if we're being official, you know, they've been top since the 27th
and of
September.
And by the way, deservedly so, because they've been excellent. And I think like everybody else and people outside, Hearts supporters and everything, you're sitting there and you're waiting for the great saying, the bubble to burst. And they've been absolutely brilliant. They've lost important players, but they've got them back just now. Hearts will be there right to the death, let's not be kidded here. They will be there right to the death. They've got a great opportunity of upsetting the big two and winning this league this year.
And talking about how quickly things have, not quickly, but how things have changed over the course of the season, if we're talking about points gaps and so on, because we judge so fast here and we expect everyone to hit the ground running, could you have foreseen a scenario where somebody calls in at the start of April, talks about Rangers winning the league, and saying Mikey Moore might be, you know, kind of key to that? Remember how different
I think the pundits as well were saying, listen, this lad's too young, he's out his depth, he shouldn't be up here, it's the usual, always a Tottenham Hotspur player, he's got to go for a lot of money, he's the next big thing coming through in England. And he, the start of his career at Rangers was very poor, but I do you know what I love about him, and the fact that he is a young guy, he could have easily folded there because it's a hard place to play, but he's performing now absolutely brilliant. Rangers fans love him. He's a big, big player for them.
He's embraced the challenge at Rangers. Yes. When you first came up the road to Rangers, he would have heard of Rangers, but he would not have known the scrutiny would be in Glasgow with a Celtic Rangers sort of thing. It was a slow start for the kid, but now he's turning into one of our best players. And as you mentioned there, he could be so vital for potential Rangers getting over the line. But going back to Hearts, about you saying they're bubble busting and stuff like that, they have been incredible. Derry McInnes has done a fantastic job there. And as you mentioned, the key players that have had out, everybody then thought they were going to start dropping points after points, but they've managed to keep going, still stayed at the top of the league with seven games to go. What a chance they've got to go.
The biggest credit, Brian, is quite simple. See, when they've lost a game, everybody's going, right, if they lose the next one, that's them gone. They always bounce back. That's character. That's everything about the dressing room. That's about their manager. That's everything about the club. That's character to go and
it's
do that.
It's a team spirit. You see it after the game when they bounce back and win that game. You can see the players, the joys after the game. They're all celebrating with each other. They're all together as one, and that'll push them a long way.
Right, Gordon Regan, since we're getting back to domestic football, let's just chuck some bold statements and predictions out there. Will Rangers go on and win this league?
I think so, because I think a big part that will be played is Celtic's injuries, because Trusty's just been out injured for America. He got took off injured, and a couple of their other big players are away, like Carter Vickers, Johnson, they've been out for a long time. Same with Hearts, but they've just got like Devlin and Shanklin back, who are two big key players. And Rangers don't really have any major injuries in them, to be fair.
That's a fair point, actually. If we're looking at every aspect of it.
Rangers have put themselves in a great position, especially on Saturday, when they can go to Ibrox, get the 3 points, sit back and say to Hearts and Celtic, for once in the only time in the league, right, it's up to yous now, the pressure is all on you. So they're in a good position, but so's Hearts, and don't rule out Celtic.
Okay, thank you very much to Regan in Carluke. He is in the hat, because for every caller who gets on air tonight, you'll be entered into the draw to win a pair of tickets to Ladies' Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National Air Racecourse, Friday 17th of April. Gates open 11:45, right through till 5:15. The last race is. You can check out all the details at air-racecourse.co.uk. We are chucking in a club badge, race card, drinks, snacks on arrival. You need to be over 18. You can check out all the T's and C's at the website. So maybe you were going to phone in and make a point about football anyway, and if you do that, you're in the hat for the ticket. So it makes sense to me. 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're back. We're building up to the domestic action returning this weekend. If you've still got thoughts of the international break, we'll take them, because Brian Graham was an eyewitness down there at Everton Stadium the other night. But so much excitement, I think, looking forward, judging by the phone line. So keep the calls coming in. Don't forget, you're in the hat for the Air Races tickets if you make a point to the panel as well. So 0141 951 1025. George is on next. How are you, George?
Okay, I'm well. How are you, lads?
Good, George. What are you thinking?
Right, well, I've never been a Danny Rowe fan. At the start, I didn't fancy him, but he's won me over. And actually, in November, I had a wee flitter on Rangers to win the league.
What price you get?
Oh, I took Celtic, St Mirren to win the cup, and Rangers to win the league.
It's not bad.
But it's Scottish Cup, he's talking about.
the League Cup, they win the one.
Still put George, you get the lottery numbers for Gordon Dale. Yeah. You do Euro millions.
I do that as well.
All right, keep them for Saturday. Write them down.
Well, at that time it was, I think it's about 560 quid or something.
Oof, that's
all right. That's all right, George.
That would cover Brian Graham's Scotland tickets.
Don't tell DL, or I'll be up for a pint.
Oh, don't tell DL. Excuse me, I'm sitting here with Can's own listening, so I'm right in for your 500 odd quid, George.
You're right, George.
You're welcome. I'll buy your pint anything. I don't need a winner to buy your pint.
Thanks, George.
Please gamble responsibly. What about the... What gave you your confidence then? Because you're saying you've never been a Danny Rule fan. He must have started to win you over a bit now.
When he got the job, I posted for, after the first half of the game, I posted for him to go.
When did you change your mind?
Well, he's starting to pick teams for to win games. He picks the right team for the game.
George, do you? Can I ask you a question? Did you go to the games? Do you go to Ibrox?
No, unfortunately, I had a stroke.
Right,
I was a season ticket holder all my life.
Mm-hmm. You watch on the telly. I think where Danny Rowe came in for a bit of criticism early was, I don't think he had a great style of play, and I don't think Rangers fans were enjoying it. But the one thing I liked about him when he'd done his first interview as a Rangers manager, he says, I need to win games. He got it right away for me. It wasn't about style, it wasn't about formations, it wasn't about fancy this and fancy that. It was about 3 points. It was about winning games. He's done that, and as Brian said earlier, they've lost two games in 31, and they've got a great opportunity on Saturday to go top of the league. Now, it may be for only 24 hours or whatever it may be, his Hearts were playing Livingston, but you would not have said that about 6 months ago.
I think you'll see the best of Danny Rowe next season after he has a pre-season with the players, brings in players that he wants to fit whatever system he has, and then you'll probably see a better style of play from Rangers. At the beginning, it was, he had to come in the door nice and early, had to win straight away to get the fans on side, and played a particular way to try and get results. I think he's trying to tweak a few things in January, but it's still, I'd believe, that's not the way he wants to do it. But he's doing a formula where he's trying to win games to get Rangers to win the title. He's put them in a great position to potentially do it. But as I said, I still believe Rangers will see the best of Danny Rowe next year.
George, you must be, so what is he winning you? Has he fully won you over now? Is there still bits that you're not sure about where
he's at? If we just get a settled team more, rather than chopping and changing all the time, I'd like to see a settled team.
It's pretty settled now, isn't it?
I think. I think the two centre-halves, obviously Suter's been left out. They plays with the two up top, you know, Moore will play. You know, the midfield sort of picks itself as well, the full-backs. There's a debate there, is it Sterling, is it Tavernier? For me, I know a lot of Rangers fans would say that Sterling is the number one choice at right back. Just for what you said there, Brian, about service, because Rangers got a lot of width for the wide areas, and I think there's no better in the league than Tavernier whipping balls.
See, at home games, I think Tavernier should play, because Rangers have got a lot of the ball.
Is this a horses for courses thing now?
Aye, I think so. I think home games, Rangers have had more of the ball. Tavernier will create chances for those two strikers, 100%. And I believe away from home, where the games will be a bit more difficult, Sterling plays.
Bit strength. And he might do that. You just wonder, right, the Rangers fans are loving the manager just now. Now, he could go top of the league on Saturday. If he doesn't win the league and Rangers now don't win silverware this year, Would it come in for a little bit? Oh, hold on a minute. We blew it here. We had a great chance to go and win the league.
Do
you understand?
Bearing in mind where they were when he came in, now he's got them in a title race. If Rangers don't win the league, that's no Danny Rowe's fault. But I understand where you come from, because he's got himself in a position. Bearing in mind, there's still 3 points behind Hearts. There's no guarantees they win on Saturday to go top of the league. They still need to go and win that game.
Yeah,
he's done a great job to get them there. I think they're bugbear will be, they get put out of the cup twice by Celtic, and that's probably where Rangers seen themselves winning a cup, and that's not panned out the way they'd like it. So now all their eggs are in the one basket with Rangers to go and win the league.
I'm going to sort of slightly disagree. I know what you're saying about where he was when he came in, right? He is now in a great position to go and win the league, right? And if he does go top of the league on Saturday, if he doesn't win the league, as a manager, he must take a bit of responsibility.
It's just
you can't turn around and say, well, look where he came from. He's now in a position with the squad that he's got. He's had a good January. He's done a brilliant job getting them there. I think that...
Yeah, but after the weekend, they still can be 3 points behind Hearts, because Hearts can go and one in the Sunday.
There are degrees of failure and there are degrees of criticism, though, aren't there? It's all right saying it's not. It doesn't have to be black and white. You could say, yeah, there will be some that would say, you know, give a bit of criticism, but it's not the same as, you know, the type of heat that would come your way if they had never managed to close any of the gap, you know, or they had stayed behind the entire.
No, I'm not saying he's not doing a good job. I think he's doing a great job for Rangers, but he's in a position he can win the league, so.
It was only a few weeks ago we saw it. Look at, and I know that everything's heightened because of the fixture and the rivalry, but he was getting stick after the two Celtic games, mm-hmm. and a lot of Rangers fans did point that out, saying it's all well and good making up this gap, but now what? So yeah, there's clearly still things to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Danny Rowe should lose his job or anything like that, but Brian said that it's not his fault. And I totally get where Brian's coming from because of the job and the situation he inherited. But he's had the January window. He is in a position now, a great position. And a lot of people fancy Rangers to go and win this championship, right? So he would have to take a bit of the blame. He's got 7 games to win the league. It's basically in his hands because he's got Hearts still to play as well. They've got a better goal difference than now. So he would have to take a bit of responsibility.
Mm. Kenny is on the other line. Kenny, what do you think? Is it symbolically, is it important Rangers go top this weekend, even for a day or so? Does that matter?
Yeah, I would think massively. That would be a big thing to go top, even if it was only for 24 hours. It's all about momentum and all that, you know. I can't remember the other word.
Psychological.
Psychological, that's exactly what I was going to say.
No, it wasn't. Big Brian just gave you that word. You've got to use that, Kenny, in Benidorm. You've got to be running about Benidorm using that, haven't you?
I'm sitting in Benidorm at the moment.
Aye. Psychologically, you're sitting in Benidorm.
But I wanted to speak about Rangers and I wanted to speak about Scotland, right? And I'm going to just say one thing here. I'm 67, right? I was there in 74, 78, 82, 86. Right, I'm in golden age, right, for Scotland internationals, right? We had great teams, and come and underperform. Lyndon Dykes, 50 caps. He wouldn't get a flipping cap back then. Gordon, you'd have got caps before him.
Yeah, I didn't. That was unfortunate.
I know you didn't, but 50 caps, you've got to be kidding.
You could have heard it. You'd have heard the booze for Benidorm if I got a cap, let me tell you.
No, from me, pal.
Thank you, Kenny.
What do you do though, Kenny? Because, you know, he doesn't need to be better than the players that played in 82, and he needs to be better than the ones now.
I think Scotland's got a great midfield, right?
This notion about maybe the imbalance in the Scotland squad, and this has been a really interesting debate over the last couple of days, Brian, because let's split them into a couple of camps. The Steve Clarke critics, if you like, or the ones who are really on him, will say he should be doing better with this group of players. But Kenny and others are pointing out and saying, how good is the squad on paper? The midfield is very good. When you look at what he's had to choose from over his time at left back, we were spoiled a bit. Now Andy Robertson's now getting older, Kieran Tierney's had injuries. But see, other than that, is this a golden Scotland squad? Is it fair to say, Steve Clarke, you should be doing much better than 3 qualifications out of 4, because we are where we are in goal. Our centre-backs might at the tournament be made up of Hibs, a team in Saudi Arabia, Wrexham, depending who's picked. The right-back, Aaron Hickey, clearly good, but...
Well, no, it doesn't say fit.
Right, so Anthony Ralston's maybe fourth choice at Celtic at the moment, or you go Ross McCrory from Bristol City up front. It's easy to say, how did Lyndon Dykes get 50 caps? But he did, and he's had some big moments.
And
he
scored really important goals.
So again, our striker might come from Charlton or Torino, or it might be Lauren Shankland or Ipswich. So,
but even when Lauren Shankland was fit, Lauren Shankland didn't play. So I believe the national team have done incredible over the years
what Steve Clarke's built in-house with the squad that they've got. They all kind of look after each other. He's done an incredible job, but it doesn't matter what you do in any walk of life, there's always someone going to criticise you. This man's got us to a World Cup for the first time since 1998 because we lose two friendlies. People, and it's not just in Scotland, people like to criticise. Let's look at the positives and start thinking we're going to the World Cup. These two games where we can experiment a little bit. We've no got natural width, no got out and out wingers. Ben Doak's injured, so he's went back to the 3-5-2 with the wing backs. Did it work first half? Potentially no, because Billy Gilmore's not played a lot of football. He potentially was off the pace a little bit. Second half were better. I quite like the boy Hurst up front. Yeah, he's a bit raw. He probably, the one he hits over the bar in the second half with his left foot, he potentially could slide someone in to get an easier chance. But I quite like the fact that he was willing to go and take the chance. Yes, it went over the bar. Who cares? It's a friendly. It doesn't matter. It's when the tournament starts, let's try and get through that group. And if we don't get through the group, big deal. We got to the World Cup. You've seen that night against
Denmark.
Still got
to have a bit of ambition though, eh?
Not, me as well. I want us to get through the group, but we need... It's always going to be a tough game. Morocco's going to be a tough game. We're expected to win the first game. That's the
first game's got to be tough.
That'll be the decider, won't it?
That will be tough, but we've got to win that 100%. And I believe we will win it. And then you just don't know by your luck way Steve Clarke's got his teams defensively minded. Can we go and nick a point against Morocco? That would get you through the group.
I think we'll lose the first two and beat Brazil 5-0. That's what we normally do, and I think that'll be enough. But listen, I take on board what you're saying, and what you've got to remember as well. Our two friendlies weren't against two bad teams. Look at Japan. Japan have been in the last 8 World Cups.
You're going to beat England?
Wembley? So they're no pushovers. Ivory Coast, I thought they had some really, really good players. I was impressed with them. They're the same. No pushovers at all. And if you look at the rankings...
A lot of those players are worth £30 million.
Exactly. Exactly. The only thing, I think if you're Scotland and... See we'd have got a goal... I think everything would have been okay. It's just because you've not scored in two games.
But see that thing about the squad though. You know, again, we'll hear a lot of Kenny says, how did Lyndon Dykes get 50 caps? It's quite a simple question then. On the back of that, has Lyndon Dykes consistently been picked over players that are definitely better, you know, much better, players that are going to make a difference? Because if the answer is no, then what do you do? We don't have the luxury of leaving. You know, you look at, and by the way, they're not in great shakes based on that friendly, but the bit about, you know, Trent's been left at home for England and leave Real Madrid players out. It's all relative. We don't have anything like that. They're very...
We as Scotland talk about strikers, right? Harry Kane's not played the last two games for England. They played without a striker against Japan. And by the way, Calvert-Lewin scores goals in the Premier League. A couple of others scored goals in the Premier League. Ollie Watkins wasn't in the squad. Top strikers can't get in that squad. We are not in a privileged position where we've got world class strikers to go and call upon. That's where we are as a nation. We've just got to get on with what we've got.
I agree. You talk about the strikers. If you were starting the first game tomorrow and you were playing two up top, I have no idea who will play. Obviously, you look at Adams, probably would be one starter for me. I think he gives you a bit different, but he could play Dykes.
For me, I would probably play the boy Hurst and Shanklin. Hurst and Shanklin, if we played a 3-5-2 in the first game, that would be
matter. You would leave it at Adams?
I would leave it at Adams, aye, 100%.
Yeah. We're going to bring in some more callers a bit closer to home very soon. Let me run this past you first.
Clyde One.
It's getting serious now. Very, very serious. Because tomorrow, somebody wins £750,000, £750,000. Text yes to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are all charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the clock is ticking. 5 p.m. tomorrow, the lines close, so be quick. £750,000. Text yes to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon Diel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Don't forget, every caller makes it into the hat for the tickets to Air Races, just like John, who's on the line. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, guys. I'm in Benidorm as well at the moment.
No, don't tell me.
Don't you be swearing, John.
No, I'm just too pubbed up for that guy.
Is this true or lie, John?
No, I'm only kidding, Gordon. I'm not. This is normally when I phone him in somewhere else, a pina colada.
He's in Maryhill, which is quite like Benidorm at certain times of year.
Yeah, I'll liven up at 11 o'clock.
I'm in Maryhill. Sorry, guys, what the point was, there was 2 points. The first one was, if it's true, Rangers are off to La Manga for a bit of kind of winter sun for a few days. Don't know if that's true.
Yeah, which, I think it is, yeah.
Which could come at a great time. The last time I was over at La Manga, I played an over 35s. The park wasn't that great. My first touch isn't as good as you've, Gordon. So, you know, but no, the facilities are fabulous. I know the place very well. The second point was, you were touching on where we were months and months ago before the Rangers manager came in and all the rest of it. The league was wrote off. We weren't winning any silverware. We're back in it. And the question I was maybe saying to you, would I be raging, would I be calling the Rangers manager for everything, wanting him to sack? No, wouldn't he? If we won the league, it's amazing, it's a miracle, the guy will be hailed as a legend, blah, 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 but the bottom line is we need to strengthen, we need to offload players, and we need to invest more money for next season to be really strong, to challenge, to win things like the treble and get a good run in Europe. And if we get a chance, we could get into the Champions League, which we're not ready for, I think, if it's, I don't know if that's true, if we can get in through the back door of Sporting Lisbon or something, I'm not too sure. So that was my point.
Is there a distinction for you, John, between finishing second and third, or do you just see it as winning the league and not? Because there's going to be this madness of the rivalry kicks in, where Celtic fans obviously would rather Hearts won it than Rangers, Rangers fans would rather Hearts won it than Celtic. When you say, you know, if we don't win the league, we won't be too critical of Danny Rule, is that the same? Is that the same if it's a second place finish and a third place finish?
Look, I'm not going to turn around and say, you could ask probably 100 Rangers supporters and probably 100 of them will say, if we don't win the league, we want to finish second. Of course we do, but we really want to win the league. But as I say, Hearts are a wee bit... Look, the whole three teams have been really shambolic this year. Celtic and Rangers. Hearts have dropped several points recently, maybe because of the injuries, not get the strength and depth with squad. But yeah, look, if we win the league, as I say, it'll be a miracle. He'll be hailed as a legend and moving on to next season to strengthen. But if we don't win the league, yeah, it'll be disappointing. But where we were way back last year, what can you expect to where we are now? Let's not kid ourselves.
I'll leave the divine intervention stuff up to you, Gordon. But, you know, I get why John uses, you know, talking about miracle and that kind of exaggerated language because of where Rangers were. But this has been the madness of this season. Mm-hmm. Rangers have done their bit and they've done well. This is not to detract from that. But who could have foreseen what Celtic would get up to with Wilfred Nancy in that period? And then Hearts are in a slightly different position because, look, they're still way behind the other two in budget and finances and all that stuff, and still underdogs by a mile, you know, in terms of before a ball's kicked. So they've done well to just kind of keep their side of things going. So it's just been mad. It's been mad all round.
Yeah.
And you're going to do this. We're going to go round in circles and say, oh, if Rangers hadn't started with Russell Martin and if Celtic hadn't brought in Wilfred Nancy and so on. Whether that equates to it being a miracle for Rangers to win it,
I totally disagree with a miracle. Listen, yes, they were in a bad place. Celtic have been a shambles. You would never imagine. I think a lot of people look at Celtic now and think they're going to finish third. You know, serial winners, a team that's won multiple leagues, but they've had four managers, if you count Martin Neil twice, right? They've had four managers in the season. Their transfer windows have been terrible. At the beginning, Rangers were the exact same. So I don't think I was never expecting. I know they were behind with a few points. I think you said 11, Gordon. It's early. There's a lot of games to go. They've got a big squad. January, they invested, and I think they invested very well. They brought in some decent players that added to that squad. So for me, I think it'd be, right now, you're looking as Rangers, it's Rangers Football Club here you're talking about. People are going, yeah, okay.
But then you would never have said they could win it. On the day that Russell Martin trudges off at Falkirk,
yeah,
you gave them absolutely zero chance.
No, I don't think.
So did everybody else.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But when they put their cell in the position now that they're in, right, if you're Rangers or yourself, you've got to look and say, right, hold on a minute. The opposition, Celtic, are not very strong and good. You know, they've got a lot of injuries. They're working very hard, but they're sitting in third. Their display against Dundee United was shocking. And you would expect them to go to Dens. I fancy them at Dens, but would I be shocked if they dropped any? No. If they drop any, they're finished. They're gone. Celtic look at another point in the next two games and Rangers and Hearts are winning. Celtic are finished. They're gone. They're out. So I think if you're Rangers, you just don't go, yeah, it'd be a miracle if we won it, but it'd be great. It'd be okay if we finish second. No, you've got to go and win the league. You put yourself in a brilliant position with seven games to go. Win seven games, you win the league.
See, for me, the big one is, say, for example, Hearts do go on to win the league, then everybody's going to say, oh, but look at the state of Rangers, look at the state of Celtic at that time. No, forget that. Hearts have been absolutely brilliant
it's
from the start.
It's not their fault, is it?
No,
in a league, all
you
need
to
do
only
is...
beat who's in front of you. And Hearts have, in-house, on the pitch, they've been excellent from start to finish. The two big Glasgow sides have not been great overseason. They've been a bit of shambolic at times. And Hearts have capitalised on that and kept the momentum, kept going, as Gordon said earlier in the show. September the 27th has been top of the league and they're still there. What
yeah,
a job they've
yeah,
done.
Yeah, and I think Hearts will be there. I think they deserve to be. And I think we're getting one or two really key players back for them. I think Hearts will be there. I don't think Hearts are going away. I think a lot of people thought that Hearts would eventually drop off and probably finish third. Hearts won't. Hearts have got a great opportunity to win this league.
I'm looking forward to the fixtures come out for this split.
100%.
That's when everybody then will start making their judgments to see where the games are, who's home, who's away, and all these sort of things.
See when people say, and I know what John's saying, right? Because of what happened away back, there was millions of games still to play. See if you look at league table, Rangers have lost two games all season.
It was just the early draws, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not going to be a miracle. They've lost two games.
John, how key do you think was the January transfer window and adding just that bit extra that's got you to this opportunity?
That's why we're at this position, because of the January window, because of the players that we brought in. Let's not kid ourselves, we were a shambles under Russell Martin. We were all over the place, we couldn't pick a result. It was just horrendous. So the January window's been absolutely massive. It's been very, very important. But as your other guy says on the panel there, sorry, I misplaced his name when you came in.
Brian.
Yeah, you can't take it away from Hearts. Hearts have been fantastic. Not got a huge, big squad. Not got the money that Rangers and Celtic have got. I get all that. But as you said, it's going to be very interesting with the split. Who plays who, where we play. And, you know, we've been there before. But as I say about a miracle, Gordon, it will be a miracle if Rangers win the league. Because when's the last time Rangers had a title challenge like this and Celtic, really? Let's not kid ourselves, because it's been Celtic Rangers, Celtic Rangers for decades. So it will be a miracle, and it'll be more of a miracle because where Rangers have been, because we were absolutely out of the picture. We were hopeless. We were shambolic as a club. So, look, upwards and onwards, if we win the league, it will be a miracle. Moving on to next season, it'll be great. Hopefully big investment, and Rangers will hopefully get a wee bit of winter sun over to La Manga. Great facilities, and hopefully can regroup and come back and win the league would be absolutely tremendous.
Do you know what? Maybe Clyde One Super Scoreboard is not the platform to debate what a miracle is. We'll leave that leave that to people better qualified.
I agree with John. La Manga is brilliant. I've been there.
Yeah, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's that time of the year, to be fair, for that discussion.
What time of year?
Easter.
For what discussion?
Oh, miracles.
The miracles, right. Okay, sorry.
It's more interesting, is it egg? What's your egg of choice?
I like white chocolate.
Oh, right, I had you down as a kind of mini egg man, I would have thought.
No, I'm a white chocolate man.
So, the egg itself needs to be white chocolate?
Yeah, and then and
Milky Bar kid.
Yeah, it's a Milky Bar kid. I like that about you. Right, I've got a lot of time for that.
But here's a wee weirdy bit. I stick it in the freezer for a couple of days.
I'm a cold chocolate man as well, and all that splits households.
And if, everything, chocolate digestives, get in my fridge and everything, right? Every biscuit in the world in the fridge. In the freezer, 2 days, let it just settle. bring it out, get your tea, your mug of tea.
I don't know, right.
Gets his egg, gets his new dish till, puts it in the dish till and cracks his egg.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm not an expert on freezers, but does it need to be in 2 days?
Yeah. So it's really, and then
rock hard. I missed this bit in the Bible.
Yeah, and then you get your big mug of tea, you're right, you get the hat.
Any particular white chocolate that it needs to be, or?
No, I just like white
just
chocolate.
Any?
Yeah, I would take, the expensive ones are good, but I can't afford them.
Okay.
Any white chocolate. I just, if Andy's out there
wants to send me. I was waiting on that commentary.
If Andy's out there wants to send me an Easter egg. You know what I mean? I'm open for the white chocolate ones.
No Easter eggs available, but there is a sign ball or a Beat the Pundit coin up for grabs if that ticks the box for you. 01419511025. Beat the Pundit time, and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Thiel and Brian Graham are here. It's 01419511025. And keep the calls coming in. We've had a bit of reflection still, a couple of days on from the Scotland game. Brian Graham was there, of course, but lots of attention now being turned to what lies ahead, the return of the league action, and it should be incredible. It's been an unmissable season already, and now we're back. We're on the home straight, a couple of games before the split, and then it really gets down to business. So keep all your thoughts coming there, no matter what team you support, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. You had a nightmare last week. That was your Jean-Pierre Papin.
Jean-Pierre Papin.
Episode.
A lot of people are backing up with that one. I've got to say, a Tuesday, I'm unstoppable. I'm brilliant. A Thursday, I'm half. Nightmare.
I hope you're on again tonight.
Nightmare. I'm not having a good Thursday. Thursday is not good to me and Beat the Pundit. If you look at my record, it's like Tuesday's home game for me. I'm up for it. I'm good. The crowd's behind me. I'm in with good pundits. A Thursday,
tail end of the week, he's getting tired.
Aye. I'm away
from reminds
home.
Me of, you
the
know
pitch isn't good. The questions isn't good.
This reminds me now, you know, nowadays there are stats for everything,
yeah,
in football, and sometimes you think, what's the point in that? Who cares? Because some are brilliant, but you know, you get those ones like so-and-so X team hasn't won their last 8 games on a Wednesday, and you think, who cares? Like, what difference does that make? But you're buying into that.
I'm buying into it.
You think Thursday's
making a difference? Thursday's not a good night for me. It's not a good night.
Okay.
I don't enjoy a Thursday. I'm all kidding, Brian.
You've been away in Tenerife.
I'm using a Tuesday with you.
You've been away in Tenerife sunning yourself.
Yep. I've not really been paying attention, to be honest with you.
Wish could be.
Had a week off.
There could be a ball or a coin flying right out that door in the next 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, Barry is going to play in Haddington. How's it going, Barry?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, yourself?
Have you ever played this before?
No, I haven't, no.
Right, okay, what made you call tonight? The fact that Gordon Dale can't win on a Thursday and Brian Graham has been on the lash in Tenerife?
Nobody on the lash.
Yeah. No, I'm just at my son's football. I'm just waiting on it starting to go over and watch, and it was advertised, so I thought I'd get a go.
Love that.
Oh, good, Barry.
Good luck, Barry.
How many do you normally get, Barry?
Normally do alright.
Oh, do you? That's good.
I like the sound that he's kind of keeping his cards close to his chest.
I never tell it was a number.
Nah, he doesn't want to give too much. I wouldn't do that either. You don't want to give too much away. Mm-hmm. Let's hope it's straightforward. What about the drama and the 5K minute this week?
But by the way, I'll tell you what. Actually, that was the answer I was going to shout out.
The milk?
All day long I would have went milk water. You've got it's natural, isn't it?
I never heard it.
What's a cow drink?
No, not involved.
Anyway, what we'll do here is toss the coin. If it is the blue side of the coin, it's Brian Graham. He's in the blue chair, and Gordon Dale is in the red side of it all. So let's see how we get on. One of them will take on Barry, and it's Brian Graham. You're off the hook, Mr. Thursday.
I would have liked to have played there. I've got a feeling.
It's Tenerife's finest who's going to play again.
Come on,
Barry. From Haddington. So what we'll do here
good
is
luck,
we'll
Barry.
Give
cheers.
Brian something else to listen to. Barry, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What nationality is Jens Bertolaskou?
Finnish.
Who's Celtic's number 7?
Jota.
Who scored more Rangers goals, Sasa Papac or Niko Katic?
Katic.
How many squirrels are on Kilmarnock's badge?
Two.
Ramsden's sponsored which cup in Scotland?
The Challenge Cup.
What is the name of Peterhead Stadium?
Oh, pass.
In what year was the Scottish Cup final last held at Ibrox?
2004.
Okay, let's bring him back. Brian Graham, can you hear us?
Yep.
Easy, mate. They're easy.
30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions.
Don't panic.
Your time starts now. What nationality is Jens Bertolaskou?
Danish.
Who's Celtic's number 7?
Jota.
Who scored more Rangers goals, Sasa Papac or Niko Katic?
Papac.
How many squirrels are on Kilmarnock's badge?
2.
Ramsden's sponsored which cup in Scotland?
Scottish Challenge Cup.
What is the name of Peterhead Stadium?
Balmore.
In what year was the Scottish Cup final last held at Ibrox?
1987.
How many current SPFL sides has Effie Ambrose played for?
3.
Okay.
Oh, brilliant, mate. That was good. I was impressed.
How do you know?
Because I know the answers.
No, you don't.
Why, Eddie?
I can tell you don't.
100%.
Okay.
Ask me the question again, I'll give you the answer.
Barry, how do you think it went?
I think he's done me like a couple more questions than this.
Let's find out. Oh, you've been outpaced by Brian Graham, Barry. What nationality is Jens Bertolaskou? What did you say?
Danish.
1-0 to Brian Graham. Barry was not a million miles away. Even your geography would handle it. I said Finnish, but
did he?
It's
in the corner.
You can who's Celtic's number 7?
Oh, you can tell somebody goes to Celtic Rangers games.
Why?
He got it right away, didn't he? He kidded it on. Who's Celtic number
Jota.
7?
Jota.
Of course, it's Jota.
Jota. Oh, is it?
Barry got it as well. It's 2-1.
Just the way you read the faces if I got it wrong.
Who scored more Rangers goals, Sasa Papac or Niko Katic? Did you go Katic, Barry?
Yeah, all day long.
The 50-50s are even going against you. See, when you do that all day long.
I know, what, come on.
By one.
Come on, Barry.
It's 7-6.
I know.
And you're trying to tell me that like you knew that
I did
all
know that.
Day long.
All day long. Who? What was the final answer? Who was the correct answer?
Yeah, it was Papac.
There you go,
but
then.
By one.
Don't divide it with by one. Happy all day long.
Brian Graham's 3-1 up. You stuck at it though, because there are two squirrels on Kilmarnock's badge, Barry, but Brian got that as well. Barry wasn't bad because he knew the Challenge Cup for Ramsden's, mm-hmm. but Brian's already got the lead and he keeps getting
I've got
right.
the winner's medal in the house.
And then, were you in that team? Who did you win it with?
Ross County.
All right, no, I was thinking one of the other finals.
Who'd
Who was
beat?
That against?
Some Welsh team, can't remember.
Oh, that's right, that was when the Welsh team started Aye. Getting added in.
Airbus.
Wasn't Airbus, I can't remember.
Genuinely you can't not remember who you beat in the final?
No, I just remember winning the cup.
Where was it played?
Inverness.
That's how you
Connor Keyes, I think it meant. I don't know. I genuinely can't remember.
See me.
That's terrible.
I know. Anyway, it was Ramsden's.
Well, nobody forget. Nobody remembers the losers.
Nobody remembers the actual
if
final.
You're playing it, I think you would remember.
I don't even remember the final.
The Challenge Cup, you both got it, which means Brian stays ahead. He then stretches his lead. Peterhead Stadium is Balmour. Barry passed it, and then Barry was out of time, so it was just a chance for Brian to add some gloss, which he couldn't do. You got the 7 right, but it was 1997.
I just
you
went,
did say 87, didn't
I went with my data buff.
Did you?
Aye.
Kilmarnock
I didn't know.
Falkirk, 1997, yeah.
Okay. I can't remember. I wouldn't have got that anyway.
And how many current SPFL sides has Effie Ambrose
3.
Played for? It was going to have to be a guess. No, 7. SPFL.
Oh, right. I thought you just meant
Celtic, Hibs, Livy, Dunfermline, St Johnstone, Morton, and Queen of the South.
I played with my Hibs, I know.
So there we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6. So that was, to be fair, Barry, I don't think you were bad, but 6 is going to be hard to beat.
Good performance, mate.
Would the Barry?
I would have won if it was Gordon.
No, you wouldn't have, Barry, because I knew all the answers.
I don't think you would have. Would you have got Jens Bertolaskou?
All day long.
You're not getting Jota. You would not have got Jota.
I've got Jota all day long. Nah. Number 7. Jota, of course. Where's it?
Oh, well, then that's me convinced.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another one. Papage all day long as well. So I'm 3 up already. Challenge Cup.
You're not getting squirrels.
I'm getting squirrels. I went 2 for the squirrels. Right? There's the other ones I didn't get is. I got Balmour. I've been up there a million times. Honestly, I was going flying. I never got Effie Ambrose because I went 3. I thought it was Premier League.
We're here to educate pundits and listeners alike, so we can fill in the blanks. You did indeed beat Connors Key Nomads in the final.
Connors Keys.
March 2019, 3-1. And I'm just wondering.
Rough score.
I'm just wondering.
Josh Mullen scored 2, I think.
About.
No, you know, did you score 3?
No.
Since that day, so
you did start up front with Ross Stewart, and yep. I'm wondering whose pay packet went in a more positive direction after that fight.
I go by Grossi's move, 100%.
Unbelievable, eh?
Multi-millionaire, the big man, isn't he?
Superb. Outside chance for the Scotland squad, according to some people, but there we go. You started up front with Ross Stewart and won the game, so happy with that.
Why is it when we play with young strikers, making them better?
Barney Stewart. Do they can give you a wee bit of commission?
I doubt
they
it.
Should, mate. They're bouncing off of you. You know what I mean? What you do, they do opposite.
I was waiting you say that.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, though. This show never fails to deliver. Just the instant impact it has on people's lives out there, right. And on yours. Well, yeah. Thanks for spoiling it. Yeah, somebody's dropped off an Easter egg already for you.
No.
Serious?
I was...
White chocolate, no less. How good's that?
They
get it in the freezer for 2 days. What do you mean it's a wind? What bit of this is a wind up?
I seen the producer coming in there throwing something.
Somebody was at the door.
Aye, what's going on here?
Somebody came by to the studio and dropped in a white chocolate egg for the Dazzler.
Ah, that's brilliant.
That is superb, isn't it?
I'm getting that home at the interval.
No, it's not been in the freezer for 2 days.
Oh, no, and here it is. Give it back.
There you go. Whoever it. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Enjoy. Whoever brought me. It's quite wee.
Never happy.
Grateful.
Never happy.
I was expecting the big one.
So-and-so.
You're not going to get a lot of buttons in that. Are you?
How ungrateful is this guy?
No, I'm over the moon.
Eat it driving home.
Oh, don't worry about that, but I think somebody could do better than that. Come on.
Sure, that's disgusting behaviour from you.
It's like Tamkie still game.
No. Oh, horrible. Oh. Barry, who's your team? You said, did you say Celtic as well with the Jota one?
Yeah, aye.
So what are you thinking for the remainder of the season now that we're back at it almost?
I think we need to win. We need to win this weekend anyway. Drop points this weekend and it's definitely over. But I just keep plugging away and see what happens.
What does your faith level look like on that?
What was it? What, sorry?
Faith. How much confidence do you think?
With Martin O'Neill there, you never know. Without him, I don't think we would have had much chance at all. But with Hearts and Rangers both to play at home, I think we've still got a better chance.
It's going to be interesting, Gordon, isn't it? Yeah. If we're talking about all this stuff that we always kind of mention, you can't measure it. Does the break come at a good time for teams, a bad time for teams? You can never really be sure, but maybe not a stretch to say that last performance from Celtic, everything around, maybe they needed something, some sort of break, some sort of reset, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. That would be the kind of hope. It'll need to be the hope for Barry and others, because it's going to take something now.
Yeah, it's going to take a big effort. You never rule Celtic out. They're serial winners, aren't they? But I don't think they're in a great position, Gordon. In fact, at the weekend, you're looking now, and I don't think you'd have said this ever. Hearts and Rangers win, Celtic drop anything, they're out. They're never if Celtic,
but not out already for you.
No, I don't think you can, because I think Barry's right. They've got home games coming up in the split. I think teams will drop points in the split because it's so difficult going to Falkirk, going to Hibs, going to Motherwell, who hardly lose a goal at Fir Park. So they're going to be points dropped, but leading up to the split, I don't think Celtic can afford in the next two games to lose any points.
The bit that you say is, again, right, if you can put it that way, that the serial winners, the counter to that might be, are they serial winners from third place with seven games to go?
Yeah, it's a position that's unfamiliar, you've got to say to them. And right now, I can't believe I would say that if you gave me a prediction, I think Celtic, the way things are going to finish third, right? It's got to be take a big turnaround for them. But they have still got quality players. I have got a guy.
But then Rojo's just got injured as well. He's out for a few weeks as well.
Yeah, I think they've struggled this year. I think there's transfer windows. And then I look at the front line, I think, who is going to be the guy that carries them and scores them important goals to get them over the line? I don't see anybody in the centre forward position, to be honest.
Is it this the kind of social media madness, or is Martin O'Neill going to be asked tomorrow at his press conference if Arujo got injured swinging from the lights in a Glasgow night spot after the game, such as the way that Twitter was lighting up after that?
I don't think he'll get asked that question.
I don't think I'm on Celtic press conference duty tomorrow, which is. Oh, no, I am actually.
Harry,
well, you ask it.
Yeah.
I need to find out what bar it was alleged to have been in.
Oh, I know the bar.
Oh, do you? Is that one that's your favourite?
Yeah, my favourite on a Saturday.
Do you get a free pint in there?
No, well, occasionally, but it's my haunt when the international break is on. I like to get in there.
Never seen you swing for the lights.
That would be quite a sight.
No, for 20 years anyway.
Anyway, thank you very much to Barry on the line. It's 0141 951 1025. Why not get involved? We've had a bit of everything there. A bit of Rangers prior to the news, then some Celtic. What about you Hearts fans? How are you feeling? And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for tickets to Ladies Day at the Coral Scottish Grand National as well. So well worth getting involved with. I could actually see some Motherwell fans try to get involved in the phone. St Mirren as well. It's going to be a big weekend for everyone. So why not jump on right now and we will speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Brian Graham have tucked that Easter egg away during the break. Didn't last long, so thank you for the mystery deliverer. And yeah, it didn't go to waste.
It was nice.
For sure.
Beautiful.
0141 951 1025. We're about to bring in Michael on the line, but let's quickly do this first.
The full time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion, or renovation.
Right, it is time for your teaser. Olivia has sent this one in. Thank you to Olivia. Topical from this week. Can you name the 9 most capped players under Steve Clarke who were not in the Euro 2024 squad? Can you name the 9 most capped players under Steve Clarke who are not in the Euro 2024 squad?
Oh my goodness.
Kenny McLean.
Let me just check, sorry.
Was he not in the 2024 squad?
No, he was in it.
No, he was the one before he missed.
Yeah, he missed the first Euros, yep.
Shanklin.
No, he was there.
Was he as well?
Come on. So the 9 most capped players under Steve Clarke who are not in the Euro 2020 squad.
Greg Gordon.
Yes, he's got 29, I think, of his many under Steve Clarke, but he wasn't in the squad for that Euros.
Cooper.
Oh, and Liam Cooper. No, he was in the squad.
Was he?
Yeah.
Ryan Fraser.
Yes.
You're good, mate.
19 caps, not in the squad. The only thing I would say. Go carry on.
Oh, no, I was going to say the lad up front. What do you call him?
Gordon Dury.
No.
Alan Coyst.
No.
Mo Johnson.
No, he played by
Kevin Nisbet.
Long hair, scraggly. Oh, come on.
Oh, Stevie May. You think not?
No. I can't wait to hear
who long hair and scraggly is.
Yeah, he played down in England. He wears his socks down. He looks
Ollie McBurney. Look at long hair.
That's him. Is he one?
He's not got long hair. It's not him anyway, but no.
I know. Sure.
He's only got 9 caps under Steve Clarke.
What about Burke? Oliver Burke? Is it Burke?
He wasn't in the squad. Let's leave it there. You've got two.
Is he in that?
No.
No? Okay.
Craig Gordon and Ryan Fraser. Anyway, let's bring in Michael from Rob Royston. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. I've just wanted to confirm that Aurora wasn't injured in the in Wonderbar that night, swinging for a pole. I was talking to him before and after it.
I really shouldn't have mentioned it. We've now got a Wonderbar eyewitness.
His agent's on.
To Julian Arocco's gymnastics. Yeah, his agent will be phoning us, giving us in trouble. That's good. Well, so he was fit after the whole light swinging episode.
The Celtic players were there, all in good voice. We were having a good party.
Right, so he's picked up the injury afterwards.
He's picked up the injury. I don't know where he's picked
that
it up.
That can happen.
Unless he's hit it when he came down, because he wasn't shown any pain, that's for sure.
Somebody somewhere's getting the CCTV out, aren't they? Just to double check if there's a wince. As he
listen,
as he
when you get a few shandies in you, you don't feel pain.
As he dismounts, is that one of them you feel the next morning?
Yeah. Oh, that night you don't.
Anyway, who are we to speculate? For goodness' sake. On a more semi-serious note, Michael, what are you thinking then as we head out of this break for your team? You've had the inside track, presumably, speaking to them all that night.
Well, I don't know. Wasn't much football talk that night, to be honest with you. But it was a good time. But, well, obviously I'm a Celtic fan, and the running to me is it's Rangers to lose. I think Celtic, having both Rangers and Hearts at Celtic Park, the way we've been performing, we need to turn it around big time, because the performances haven't been great of late. And we're still no choice striker. We can't get somebody putting the ball in the net on a regular basis, apart from Negrin. So I think it's Rangers to lose, but it should be an exciting run. I think the three teams will draw points through that way.
That's a fair point, Gordon. We're talking about that stuff that might just sort of happen, you know, and you can't measure. Maybe you get a reset, maybe you come back feeling better about yourself, maybe there's an upturn. But Michael's talking about some of the specific issues. They haven't changed just because there's been an international break.
No.
So who starts up front for Celtic at the weekend? What is the answer to that question is not becoming any clearer for people.
It's a $1 million question, isn't it? And you look at the wide areas, I think Yang obviously starts, he goes with Maeda. And then you've got the choice of, what, three strikers through the middle that you got to put your hat on. They brought two in January, and they've not lived up to the expectations, you've got to say. They had to hit the ground running, that's what they were brought in for. I don't know. I don't think Celtic fans know. I think they've just crossed their fingers. Everything. Do you know what Celtic fans are doing? They're putting all their hopes on, not the team, on the manager. They're putting on Martin Hill, hoping that he can pull that miracle out. The Rangers fan was on
back
saying...
to miracles back again.
The Rangers fan was on saying it would be a miracle. I think a lot of Celtic fans would look at this Celtic team now, the way the club's going, and say it'd be a miracle if they go and win the league. So,
and I'm not only talking about one game, and we kind of need to wait, I guess, to then to find out how it does play out. But you know, Martin O'Neill's impact is still limited, Brian. That he was in charge when they lost against Dundee United. He's been in charge. They've slipped to third. There are big deficiencies there. Whether no matter who the manager is,
and how much say did they have in the January window? I know it was late in the window to bring in the players as well. So Martin O'Neill, he's done a great job the first time round. Now he's come back in and he's steadied the ship. But obviously nobody seen the 2-0 defeat at Tannadice coming, but it happened, and now they find themselves in third. And it has been a bit of a crazy season at Celtic, with the Brendan Rodgers leaving, Nancy coming, then Martin O'Neill. If you'd have said that at the start of the season, people would think we're mad. But it happened. The transfer window in the summer wasn't great. It didn't get much better in January. Celtic are now hoping they can win the league. They're 5 points behind with 7 games to go. They're going to need to win every single game. And as I said earlier in the show, I don't see the freedom winning every single game. And I thought a couple of weeks ago, after the 2-2 with Rangers, I thought Celtic would kick on and potentially go and win the league. But now they find themselves in a very difficult position to go and do it.
And the city of Dundee has not been a happy place for Celtic this season, Michael, back there this weekend.
No, I think it's the fourth attempt to try and get a result, mm-hmm. But maybe fourth time lucky, and we'll get a good result against Dundee. But they're a good side as well. We're up. Stephen Presley has got them well organised, so they're hard to beat. But fingers crossed, Celtic players turn it on and kick on for there.
The two wide players at Dundee will cause Celtic problems, Jogan and Congreve. They two wingers are very good. I think Dundee have got really good players, and fair play to Stephen Presley. I think a lot of people were saying they were going to get relegated at the start of the season. He's been slowly but surely building his team, and when you play against them, they're well organised, they've got good individuals and play well as a team. I think they've done extremely well this year, Dundee.
I look at Dundee and people say they're a good side, right? And the evidence, they're sitting eighth in the league. You look above, teams like Falkirk are in the top six, got to be there. Mm-hmm. Motherwell's got to be in the top six. I think they're inconsistent. You look at them sometimes, and I do agree that everybody thought they were going to get relegated, and everybody was on Presley's back, you know, criticising them. And well done to him. He's dug in and he's got them. I don't think they will be in the relegation problems. Could they upset Celtic at Dens Park? 100%.
They're quite a good example of their ceiling's quite high, isn't it? You've mentioned the consistency, which is obvious because of where they are in the league. But you know, beating Motherwell there recently, when everybody would have fancied Motherwell, that was the weekend that the spotlight was on. Can Motherwell really mount some sort of title challenge? Celtic having gone earlier in the season, it's
character coming back in the derby.
They're capable because of those players that you mentioned.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, listen, and it's led by the lad up front, you know, Simon Murray, who just puts his heart and soul into that jersey. He must be brilliant to play with. He puts every bit of effort into the game. They've got a bit of character, and
found a bit of form now as well. He's been scoring of late.
And I totally agree with what Brian says. I think the two wide butt guys, is it
Congreve and Yogan?
I think Congreve is a very exceptional player. He could be a match winner for him.
Well, Michael, I'm sure Martin O'Neill will back up your medical report tomorrow, so thank you for taking the time. Good to hear from you.
Gone.
There we go. That's fine. Thomas is in Paisley. Hi, Thomas. Thomas, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Right, Thomas.
Good afternoon, panel.
There's a lot going on here. I'm talking about the top of the league, but let's please turn attention to your team, St Mirren, and Aberdeen, and Stephen Robinson, and everything that goes into that this weekend. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't really know why they waited so long to get Stephen Robinson in from Aberdeen. I don't know why they waited 2 months before they got him in. I don't know why they didn't just get another manager in straight away and then taking Stephen Robinson as and leaving during a relegation battle.
What do you, you've obviously made moves or sort of during the break, in that you've confirmed that your interim manager will continue to the end of the season. Happy with that? He keep you up?
Yeah, I'm quite happy with him being into the season, but I think by next season, I think looking at Dermot O'Carroll, the old assistant, and bringing him in, I think that would be a good shout.
What kind of reaction will Stephen Robinson get?
I don't think it'll be a good reaction when we play them again this weekend.
How not, Thomas? Did you not think the lad deserves a good reaction from the St Mirren fans?
I think leaving us in a relegation battle and put quite a poor place in the league and maybe going down. And then
he's won you a cup and he's got you a semi-final in the Scottish Cup. I know that
Andy's had so many injuries.
Yeah, I know your league form isn't great, but you've got to, and by the way, he's had top six, top four finishes. You've got to appreciate that. Yes, I think St Mirren fans, I think it was a good thing for St Mirren. I think that the change of voice in the dressing room probably helped the players. I thought they were on a slippery slope for me. But all of a sudden, I think they've got a little bit of hope that they could pull themselves up the way rather than get dragged down.
Did you
hear
Stephen O'Donnell on Monday? He gave this scenario way more sincere analysis than I ever thought it could get. He said he hoped the St Mirren fans booed Stephen Robinson throughout the match and then applauded him at the end. And I just thought it was very designed. I don't know if it works that way.
They'll probably give him a bit of stick, of course, during the game. I agree with that. But I think before a game and then after a game, I think you've got to recognise, and let's not be kiddied, I think any St Mirren manager get offered the Aberdeen job, they're off and running, right? No matter where St Mirren is. You've got to recognise the job. Look at what he gave them this year in that League Cup. The fans, you know, they'll remember that for the rest of their days. Going to Hampden and beating Celtic. And by the way, not by luck, they were absolutely brilliant on the day. He's had, as I say, top four, top six finishes consistently. He's built a team every single year because he loses his best players at St Mirren. So I think that giving him the hard treatment would be a little bit unfair for me.
Thomas, if you were offered a better job, what would you do?
Oh, he's calling it a better job, Thomas.
It's a bigger job.
You probably would take it, but I think the time he's taken it and what's going on with the relegation.
But it might have been away from him. You know, if he turned around and says to Aberdeen, "No, sorry, you have to wait till the summer," Aberdeen might have turned around and says, "Well, we're not waiting.
That's fine, but then that doesn't mean Thomas and these fellow St Mirren fans have to be happy about it.
I understand that, but what he's done for the football club, and I understand where they are in the season this season, but football, the mentality, that man has done a fantastic job for St Mirren Football Club. He shouldn't be booed, he should be applauded. And if that's at the beginning or the end, he should be welcomed into the club with open arms.
I just hope when he comes back down, he brings the League Cup with him.
Lots of debate this week about...
I've never seen him hug a League Cup as much. By the way, he must have slept with it for 6 months. I've never seen anybody worrying about Hampden with a League Cup. Nobody could get it off him.
Lots of sincere analysis as well as to when you should and shouldn't boo this week. I've noticed that's been a bit of a theme. So thank you to Thomas. Let's go Tom, who's also in Paisley, who's also a St Mirren fan. I think we've just given one Tom and one Thomas so that I can tell them apart on this screen. But anyway, Tom, similar point to your namesake. What are you thinking?
3 points on Saturday. Great 3 points on Saturday. I don't see a problem. I really don't.
How does Stephen Robinson get received?
Come on, Tom. I know you, Tom. Come on, you're a fair guy.
Nice to see you, pal. I hope he gets the respect he should be getting. I hope he gets back up the road with the tail between his legs.
See, I quite like that. That's more like it. That's brilliant. For me, yep, get his respect and you want him to get beat. Love that. That's brilliant for
me. What did you make of the decision during this break to kind of make it official, if you like, between now and the end of the season in the dugout?
Well, I think it's a great move for the young boy, and I hope the young boy does well. I'll give him to the end of the season, and at the end of the day, he's got the players playing for him, which Stephen Robinson had at the end of the day. Stephen Robinson's history now. It's all about Craig McQueen's team now. I think Manson, Jamie Langfield's team now, and Stuart Taylor. It's all about his team now. It's all about Stephen Robinson's team. It's about the forward team now, Gordon.
Sorry to remind you, Brian, but the win against Falkirk might have got him the job. Did you notice anything? Was it different? Was it improved? Because he's only had the two games to really...
I think when you do your analysis, you can see, even by the Rangers game, I know it wasn't a great spectacle, but they try and play a little bit more passes at the top, at the back, to try and draw you out to then try and play further up the field. They tried it against us again at Falkirk. I felt on the day we were unlucky, if I'm being honest. We went back and reflected on it. We lose two silly goals. And there was a big key moment for me in the game towards the end where there was a handball. I felt we should have had a penalty. When you go to the Dundee game the week before, the one Simon Murray gives away in the derby, it's the fact that he caught it and spins round with it. So I'm still a bit aggrieved that we didn't get a penalty to go 2-2 that day.
Gordon, it's, you know, one thing is for sure, it had to be decisive from St Mirren, and that goes back to what Thomas was talking about. It is late in the day. It kind of leaves you scrambling, because if you thought you were going to lose Stephen Robinson, you probably thought it was a couple of months ago. It then doesn't happen. It comes around quite suddenly. You're in a relegation scrap. You probably don't have time to get a sort of idealist manager in who wants to build and plan and all this stuff and needs a pre-season. It's straight in. So does it make sense, Craig McLeish, to carry on?
Time will only tell. Like everything else, I think it's a massive gamble. I've got to be honest with you, and Tom's going to hate me for this. I think St Mirren are in trouble. I know they beat Falkirk.
But Aberdeen, though.
Yeah. Listen, I've got a wee sneaky that Aberdeen can come down and get some.
Oh, wow.
In Paisley, right? I know that they get a great result against Falkirk, a great valuable 3 points. But St Mirren, this season in the league, I think they've been dreadful. I really do. And I think that...
But as a good win against Falkirk, you've said you acknowledged it, yeah, but then you're kind of overlooking
no,
it.
No, I think one game, right? And it was against Falkirk, which is a hard place to go and get points. But I think there's bigger tasks to come for St Mirren. I think St Mirren will... I look at Kilmarnock have got a little bit of momentum about them. I know they go to Easter Road this week, it'll be difficult, but I think Kilmarnock will have enough to get their soul out of there. I think it's between, and it's a massive game, I think it's between Aberdeen and St Mirren for that 11th spot.
Tom, Thomas, Tam, T, thank you for getting in touch. It was a pleasure. I can't wait to see what happens there in Paisley at the weekend. How are you doing in this teaser? Olivia says, can you name the 9 most capped players under Steve Clarke who were not in the Euro 2024 squad? Craig Gordon and Ryan Fraser.
Is Greg Taylor one?
Nope.
Fellow pundit, sod Stephen O'Donnell.
Yes. Well done. He's got 19 of his 26 caps.
I dropped off his water bottle for him.
Did you get it back to him? He was very unhappy about leaving it in the studio.
I've never seen him disagreeable. He was cuddling me and everything. Thanks very much. Oh, I really appreciate that.
Must be a Mallow thing. People mean miserable.
I know. Stephen is on. Oh, no, it was one of those expensive bottles. Yeah. You know the ones.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Fraser, Stephen O'Donnell, Craig Gordon.
John Souter.
Yes.
Was he not in the squad?
He was not.
Oh, wouldn't have got that.
So there are,
go on, big Tartan army.
A couple, in fact, more than a couple.
Are there some in the squad there now?
Yes, because what I was going to say, there are a few here that would have been in the squad were it not for injury. So you're going to need to think about them, and we'll get them, hopefully, when we return. All right, so I'll give you just a bit more thinking time.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Told you, this is your calling. You're good at the music.
Yeah.
You're good.
I love this. I'm going to get involved.
You're going to get involved?
Yeah.
What is this?
The date for your diary is Thursday the 30th of April. It's from 1 p.m. So we're going to launch the world's biggest music quiz, all in aid of Cash for Kids Day. We're going to aim to break a world record. There are some amazing prizes to be won as well. £10,000 to improve your home. Think of the size of freezer you could get for all your Easter eggs. £10,000.
Yeah, I would need bigger Easter eggs, whoever sent me that.
Or £5,000 in cash, which you could spend on Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Or even a 3-month meal subscription from our friends at HelloFresh. You'd also, more importantly, be helping children that need your help. Life-changing help at the moment. So we've actually got Ant and Dec involved as well. You may have heard of them. They're going to be the hosts. And the whole Rail network of radio stations is getting involved as well. To play, all you need to do is make a donation to Cash for Kids. It'll help them to continue to provide life-changing grants and support young people in Ayrshire and Glasgow in the West. So make your donation at Clyde1.com/quiz, and we'll see you put your music knowledge to the test 1 p.m. Thursday, 30th of April.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Brian Graham are here into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to get involved in the phones, and don't forget every caller who makes it through into the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. I'll try and announce the winner before we go, but this part of the show always runs away from us and always run out of time, but we'll do our very best. How are you faring on the teaser sent in by Olivia? Can you name the 9 most capped players under Steve Clarke who are not in the Euro 2024 squad? So guys like Craig Gordon, John Souter, Ryan Fraser, Stephen O'Donnell.
It was Brophy.
No, come on.
David Marshall.
Yes.
Okay. Was Patterson in the squad? Did he injured?
Which Patterson?
Nathan Patterson.
Correct, well done.
Thank God.
Lewis Ferguson.
Correct, well done. Right, only 2 to get, so leave it there because we've got plenty of time. There is a real Paisley theme running through these phone calls. This is 3 in a row, but Davey is not a St Mirren fan, he's a Celtic fan. What have you got in your mind, Davey? Davey, can you hear us? Oh no,
Davey's away.
Build up. Give mm-hmm. Paisley. Give Paisley the biggest build up it's had.
2 tons quite some cut time. Off.
That was for a hat trick for Paisley.
I know, 2 tons have cut him off.
Blown it at the last minute. We'll try and get him back, Davey and Paisley.
Just shout out the window, we'll hear him.
I had high hopes for him. Oh, he's proper gone as well. Disappeared off the screen.
What do you mean proper gone?
Well,
he's hung the phone up.
Because he was still on my screen, but I couldn't hear him
he's
now.
Driving out of Paisley as we speak.
Yeah, he's a goner. We'll try and get him back.
He had a good point as well, Davey. I knew.
Oh, I was excited to hear what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't St Mirren related.
No,
we were over that. Mm. Right, oh, he's back. Davey.
How are you doing,
Gordon? Oh, good. No, Davey. Not your fault, Davey. Not your fault. Yeah.
What, you got under the Clyde Tunnel there?
I've got a couple of points. One was about Scotland last year. I tried one last night, but I missed a call back. And one's about Celtic. The first one is obviously Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to the World Cup. I think the first game's imperative of going to win. And I don't think... Ben Gannon Doak's no fit. I like to look at the boy Hurst. He's something different about us. And I think we lack a width. I would go with Hurst up front, with maybe Ryan Christie, John McGinn, or McTominay behind him, and just go for it. Because I think if we win with a few goals, I think if we get 3 points and we do get a few goals, we've got a chance of qualifying with 3 points.
Mm. Brian, let's ask you, because you were there as well, and you know, last night, the kind of theme we were trying to explore is, if there were positives, and there's all this booing and all that stuff, if there were positives, what were they? Who came out of this double header better than they went into it? And we got quite a few answers for George Hurst, and now Davies added to that.
As a centre forward myself, I was watching the young boy, and I thought,
he's not that young though. People keep mentioning
this. I know,
but
he's younger than you.
He's younger than you. Everybody's younger than you.
So I really liked him. See, to be fair, I still thought he looked a bit raw at times as well. I think he can get better, but his willingness to work for the team, he was willing to run in behind. And there was another one, Ryan Christie got, it was a couple of groans a couple of times because he gave the ball away, but I quite liked when Ryan Christie had the ball, he always looked to try and pass forward. Did it always come off? No, it didn't. But as a striker like Hurst making those runs, Christie was always trying to find him. I quite liked Christie there, and I quite agree with Davey that we go for it in the first game, go and try and win it all out, go and try and go 3 or 4 goals potentially. I know that's a big ask. It's not going to be as easy as everybody thinks it's going to be, but that would be the dream start for us as a country. But I did like Hurst.
What did you like about him? It felt like, because even the one half chance he had in the first game, for all, because we had debated Lyndon Dykes earlier, sometimes even if we know we're not got world beaters in that situation, but can you just maybe commit somebody? Can you find a half yard, get a shot off? And he did that, didn't he, remember? And I know some people will hear this and say, it's a bit kind of bare minimum. You know, you've set the bar quite low, but it felt like he was trying to make something happen.
No, he was trying. He was getting the ball on the left hand side at times, and he was always looking to get inside onto that right foot to get a shot away. The one in the second half, as I mentioned earlier on the show, where he cuts back in, it goes onto his left foot. He if he's not got confidence, he would have passed that. But he takes a shot on from the middle of the box on his weaker left foot. Yes, it goes over the bar, but for a centre forward, I quite like the fact that he was willing to have the miss. All strikers miss chances, and that was a half chance. He could have played somebody else in to go and score a goal, but I felt as if, especially in friendly games, he's a centre forward, go and make mistakes, go and play the game. If you don't score, you don't score, but you've got to make sure you've got to try and score. Go and get your shots away. Don't just make an easy pass for somebody else to go and score. You want to be, he's trying to get himself at number 9 to get to the World Cup. Unfortunately, didn't score in the second game, but I thought he did well, and I thought he did enough to give Steve Clarke a problem going forward.
I don't know personnel, but where I agree with Davey massively, Steve Clarke came in for a lot of criticism in the Euros, and I think the disappointing thing about the Euros was we were very negative. We were very negative. We didn't really go and try and win games. We tried to go and be hard to get, to beat. And I think that's where the disappointments came from. If he goes, when he goes to the World Cup and he's got three difficult games, and the first game's not a, oh, let's get four or five goals and we'll get the goal difference up.
We would like that to be the case, but it won't be the case.
But it won't be.
No, I don't think it will either.
Because I think it'll be a different. I would expect Scotland maybe even to have a bad first game and then do well in the next two where they're really underdogs, because I think we're brilliant when we're the underdogs. But
I think that's changed a bit now.
Yeah, but
look at the qualification campaigns. We're actually, whether I'm not saying this means it'll happen this summer, but we've got much better at taking care of games that should be taken care of.
Yeah, but I still think that there's three games there that you can't say the first one's a gimme.
No, but it's just the easiest of the three on paper. It just is.
On paper. But I do believe that if he's going to go over there, he's got to be that positive. And I think the friendlies, with the fact that he's playing two up top as well, I think he's looking.
I think we have a player like Shanklin beside Hurst would make the boy better. Shanklin's so intelligent.
But then, as Davey says, it depends, because if Doak is fit and raring to go, we won't play two strikers.
I know, but I would like us to play two strikers.
And Ben Doak.
No, I would try and. You can adapt in game. You can start the 3-5-2, and then in the last 20 minutes, then you can put the wingers on to really go.
That's what I mean. So Doak doesn't start.
He doesn't start. Maybe he doesn't start, no.
Huge. Davey, very quickly, do you think George Hurst has done enough to get on that plane then?
I think so. Listen, but being underdogs, what Gordon's saying there, we've got players that are playing in World Leagues or Europe. In the English Premiership, we should have nothing to fear. Absolutely. Against the Spain. I think we've got a better chance against Brazil than Morocco. Morocco are a very good side with loads of good players.
Roger Hanna was in here the other day saying he watched Brazil and wasn't he convinced. You look at the team sheet and it sends shivers. But anyway, we'll see. Davey, thank you very much. That was Davey in Paisley. We finished with a trio of callers from Paisley. Other areas are available. And I think that pretty much brings us to a close, as you can hear. We've got the music playing already. So let's round off. Congratulations to Thomas from
Paisley.
Obviously,
Paisley.
He is tonight's winner of the tickets.
Is it Thomas or Tom?
That was Thomas. To be precise. To air races. Well done. We'll do that again tomorrow. The 9 most capped players under Steve Clarke who weren't in the Euro 2024 squad: Craig Gordon, Nathan Patterson, Lewis Ferguson, David Marshall, John Souter, Ryan Fraser, Stephen O'Donnell.
Is Ben Doak one?
No.
Hickey.
Yep, Aaron Hickey.
Oh, he's injured,
man. Dykes. There you go. 49 caps under Steve Clarke, but not in the Euro squad. Injured, remember,
I was at a gig with him as well.
The hydro.
Yes.
He injured after that.
Oh, God, swinging from the lights.
Something like that. Did he not get injured at Lesser Hamden and somebody took a picture from one of the flats and everybody saw him?
Anyway. I should have got Dykes.
Tomorrow is the eve of the return of domestic football, or the Premiership I should say. Cannot wait for it. Make sure you join us. We'll get to hear from many of the managers tomorrow as well. And I wonder what Hugh Keevans has got to say for himself. Enjoy your Thursday. Back at 6 tomorrow.